This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Report with Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Brad Biggs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a longtime contributor to the station and a valued friend. And he joins us now on the Score Hotline, brought to you by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Big Zay!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, you know, the draft is coming tomorrow, and we heard Ian Cunningham take some questions. I don't know if he made any definitive statements, but he did take some questions. What is your takeaway of anything from that particular interview?
Well, he's ready to be a general manager. I mean, he's polished. He is capable of sitting there for 15 minutes, handing out some thank yous, and then saying literally nothing, which you don't expect the guy to shed a whole lot of light on anything, but they ran out the assistant GM Ian Cunningham yesterday. Ryan Poles did not speak. And, you know, I don't know that we learned any less than we would have otherwise. It seems like a process that, you know, basically all it does is hype the draft because you really don't get any useful information at all, to be totally honest with you. So he's set to be a GM.
Did he hesitate at all when asked about Bijan Robinson? Is that a little bit of a tell, or is that reading too much into it? Because that would definitely be a surprise at nine.
They can't draft a running back. Unless Bijan Robinson can also rush the passer. I think he maybe hesitated because there's just the positional value just doesn't add up with the running back position. And I've talked to people who think that the Falcons will take Bijan Robinson at 8. And then I've spoken to other people who believe that all the teams out there love the Bijan hype because go ahead and take a running back that high. That there are some that believe he'll fall, into the 20s. So we'll have to see, but I cannot see the Bears drafting a running back in round one. This is a really good draft for running backs. Like, it's deep. Dave, they led the league in rushing last year with David Montgomery and Khalil Herbert sharing the load with Justin Fields.
It's fascinating to think that there was not a running back taken in the draft last year in the first round, but potentially – whether it's Bijan Robinson going, fairly high, but Jahmyr Gibbs, the Alabama running back, could also sneak into the first round. Do you believe that we've seen the last of first round running backs, or do you believe there could be two in this draft?
I in my mock draft, to do something a little different, put Gibbs to the Philadelphia Eagles. You know, they got a lot of production out of Miles Sanders this past season. I don't know that they were particularly thrilled with Sanders. They didn't re-sign him. And I think Gibbs is a guy who could give him more versatility in what he can do than Sanders did. He's probably better between the tackles than Sanders was. And Philadelphia is, I mean, that's a roster that's pretty well constructed right now. So, you know, because people have talked about Bijan to the Eagles at 10, and I just think that I just don't see Howie Roseman doing that, but a running back there at the back end where they've got another pick, that's, I guess it's a possibility if he feels like some guys at some other positions are, you know, gone. The Eagles do a really good job of collecting two positions, offensive linemen and defensive linemen. So I would be looking at those two positions with their first pick, possibility of a cornerback, but he usually likes to stay in the trenches.
So, Brad, if you're not getting much from Ian Cunningham as expected, and we didn't hear from Ryan Poles and won't, what are you hearing from around the league about the Bears' state of mind going into this draft or who they might like? You see different things. It is lying season, but what are you hearing?
Well, it sounds like there's a – according to some people out there, there's a really good chance Jalen Carter is available at number 9. Now, others aren't as convinced of that, but if he's available at 9, I think I mentioned this when we spoke last week, that means a couple teams have basically removed him from their draft board, right? Like, how does he get to 9? How does he get past Detroit and Seattle? Especially if Seattle's not taking a quarterback, then how did he get there? Well, you probably had some teams take him off the board. So, you know, Houston's in a bit of a jam right now. I think the Texans would love to trade that pick. I think everybody knows that they seem unlikely to take a quarterback at 2. Makes it a little bit more difficult to trade the pick. Arizona's not taking a quarterback. Would make it a little bit more difficult for the Cardinals to trade the pick. We could see some movement there, or, you know, the Colts could be sitting at 4 and get their second pick of quarterbacks. So we just, where are these quarterbacks going to go? That's what's really interesting to me, because obviously the more that go in the top 8, the better for the Chicago Bears. It pushes more non-quarterbacks down to them. But if Carter's there, it will be interesting, because I think the Bears then can choose between Jalen Carter or, you know, an offensive lineman. There's some people saying now that an offensive tackle could go 3 to Arizona, and I look at it and I'm like, is there an offensive lineman in this draft worthy of going 3rd overall? I'm not sure.
The idea that you have as many needs as you do with the Bears, and they can address them basically in their first 3 picks of the draft, right? They can get one guy on the offensive defensive line at 9 and then come back and grab a couple more before they start getting into the corner position. Is that realistic? Do you think that they'll be I mean, if you don't get the 3 technique early, you're not going to get him. You're going to be settling in different positions. But there are edge guys throughout the draft. What about the offensive line? That falls off the ledge pretty early, too.
Yeah, it's not a great draft for offensive linemen, but you can find guys with traits that you like, and they did that a year ago with Braxton Jones. You're right. If you don't strike early with the 3 technique, and one player to keep an eye on would be Kalijah Kancey out of Pitt. He's got you know, shorter arms. He's not super big, but he's the kind of guy that potentially could have his name called at the end of round 1 or maybe first half of round 2, and that's kind of no man's land for the Bears right now. They pick at 9, and they don't pick again until 53. So if they start making some moves Thursday night or Friday, then potentially they could be in play for a guy like that. Yeah, if you address the 3 technique early, I think you can check those other boxes, Molly. We just have to see, you know, what happens with Jalen Carter. And some people say, well, you know, you're not looking to draft choir boys. And I completely understand that, and I agree with that. What you can't compromise on, though, is because when you hear character, I think everyone just assumes, you know, is he a good citizen? Is he a good teammate? That kind of thing. Character also involves football character, and that's these teams trying to determine, you know, how important playing football is to the guy. How much does he love the game? And when you have questions, or if you have questions about that, I should say, then you've got to dig deep and do some soul searching to figure out what direction you want to go.
All right, Brad, so there are a lot of things that we aren't sure about, one of them being the Jalen Carter conundrum at number 9, the other one being how high the offensive lineman may go and if it's worthwhile to take somebody, you know, at 3, as you just pointed out. A lot of things we aren't sure about. What are you the most certain about this draft or this draft class in the first round?
Boy, that's a great question, because it's just like you look at this, and if you just look at it by position, right, and just stack it up by position, how many of these positions have a guy that is head and shoulders above the rest of the dudes at the position? Like, clear-cut top offensive lineman. I don't think that guy exists this year. Mm-mm. There's a clear-cut running back. It's Bijan Robinson. Clear-cut quarterback. I think most people think Bryce Young's going to go 1, but there's a ton of questions about the size, right? So just, I think when you say, who's the definitive guy at this position, there's so many question marks that makes this top half a round 1 a total mystery. Like, I don't think anybody knows which direction it's going to go. If you ask me, you know, what am I sure is going to happen Thursday night? I think you'll see the corners go early, and that's not some kind of revelation. That happens every year. If you want to get a quality cornerback, you probably got to strike in round 1. You could see 5 cornerbacks for sure drafted in round 1, I think.
Brad, we haven't talked to you since the Rodgers trade. Obviously, he's out of the division now. The Packers will have more fuel. They pick 13th rather than 15th in this draft. What if anything, are you expecting? You know, certainly the Lions should have a monster draft. They've got a couple first-round picks. What are you expecting from the division, and how will you evaluate Green Bay without the quarterback?
Well, we've just got to kind of wait and see what Jordan Love can do. What are the Packers going to do at 13? Do they get him a wide receiver, which they never really wanted to take in round 1 when Rodgers was there? Do they go tight end, or do they beef up the offensive line and the protection for him a little bit? Not only do the Lions have 2 first-round picks, Detroit owns 2 second-round picks. I believe Detroit's picking 4 times in the top 55, I think it is. So the Lions should be able to get a good football player, and they obviously pick high with that Rams selection. It should be a strong draft for them. Minnesota, I think the question there is, what do they do? In round 1, that was a football team that I don't think was as talented as the record showed a year ago, right? What they went, 13 football games, and they've got some older guys, so they got to figure out how they want to retool that. Is that a spot for them to take a shot at a quarterback of the future, maybe Hendon Hooker of Tennessee, as he comes off that ACL injury suffered last fall?
So, Brad, let's talk about Tyree Wilson for a moment. I have seen him mock drafts. He's been mocked as high as 3rd, I believe, and as low as the 20. I think we talked to Pro Football Focus yesterday. A lot of range because of the ankle fracture, the surgery, and having the screw removed. And now maybe he has some clean medicals. Maybe we don't know exactly what that information is. What are you hearing about Tyree Wilson, and how likely would he be to drop to number 9?
Yeah, I talked to some people about him yesterday, and everybody's going to have probably slightly different information, but it sounds like the people I talked to yesterday, there are not concerns for them about Tyree Wilson, that that's a go there for him. That's a green light for Tyree Wilson. And so I could see him, you know, if teams don't have concerns about that, shoot, he's going in the top five anyway, right? I don't think he would get there to nine. I mean, this is kind of a different guy because he's so big, 6'6", 270 or so, really powerful. He can move. I think he's got the versatility to do a couple different things for you up front on the defensive line. He's a guy that could be a real difference maker if you believe in the medical. And I think the medical is going to turn out to be okay for him. That's based on what I gathered here recently.
Just to close the loop, the Lions have picks numbers 6, 18, 48, and 55.
And then in the top 50,
and they pick again at 81 in the third round. That's a lot of pretty high picks. The Bears, that pick number 64 should be a really good pick for them. So that's the first pick on Saturday, and you know that is a really good way to kind of go overnight, look at what's left, see who's top of your board, and if you don't have someone you want to take there, teams would love to move in after they've got a couple rounds under their belt and they know what their main need is.
Yeah, that's one of those hot picks where those first three or four picks of day three can generate considerable interest from teams that see a guy that they thought there was no chance that where that guy was on their board that he'd be available and they want to make a move. So you could potentially cash in with a trade down there. I think it's going to be interesting to see if the Bears do anything to kind of bridge that gap that I mentioned earlier, where they pick at nine and then it's a long wait until they are back on the clock again. And the easy solution, of course, that people mention is, well, you trade down from nine. You've got to have a trade partner. It's got to be compensation that is fair for you, and then you got to be comfortable moving down. Remember, this is a 3-14 football team that had the number one pick and could certainly use the number one pick, right? And the further down you trade, the lower the chances, in theory anyway, are that you get an impact football player. And the Bears need multiple impact football players.
Brad, if I would have answered the question I asked you, I would have said Will Anderson is going to be the cleanest player in this draft and the smartest pick by whoever gets him in the top five, presumably. Who's the second best edge rusher in this draft, if you agree that Will Anderson is the first?
Well, if he goes top five, it's Tyree Wilson. I think that's what people are leaning towards. A guy that's been hot for a while now is Nolan Smith. Out of Georgia, and he's a little bit undersized, super productive. I think you project him, and you hope that you get Hassan Reddick, who had 16 sacks for the Philadelphia Eagles this past season. You know, he coming out earlier in his career, he's playing a little bit of linebacker. You know, they have figured out how to put his skill set to use. Because he's not real big either, but Nolan Smith's a guy that he could certainly have his name called in the top 10. And in the Eagles, I actually mocked him to the Eagles. Like, they've got Hassan Reddick, like, bring in a guy who learned from him for a little bit. They can work together, and then you just move on. But Miles Murphy, a guy, had a really nice pro day about 3-4 weeks ago from Clemson. He's someone I think could go in the teens, but it's I think there's more depth at edge rusher right now, Dave, than you look at it and say, oh, there's a couple freaks here. Good draft for edge rushers, but I think it's more because of the depth.
Great stuff, Big Z. Thank you, buddy. Are you going to be up there? You're not going to Kansas City, I hope.
I'm not going to Kansas City. Yeah, I'll be in Lake Forest. I'm looking forward to it.
Great stuff, Brad.
We'll
thanks.
Talk to you. See you, pal.
Have a great day, guys.
That is our guy, Brad Biggs.